Matthew 24, as we continue, we'll pick up that verse that we finished with last time because it's important. It's a transition verse that helps us to understand what this next group of verses is about. Verses 44 to 51. Jesus has talked in verse 44 about being ready. We're about to see that. What does that mean, though, to be ready? Well, he tells us in these verses that it means to be faithful. And he describes what that means. This is the precious word of the living and the true God. Now listen carefully to what faithfulness looks like and doesn't look like. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkard. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The precious word of the living and the true God. The Lord Jesus Christ has been talking about being ready, and he's been talking about being ready in terms of being a thief in the night. And the Lord Jesus Christ is obviously comparing himself to a thief in a very specific way, not in a general way, because he doesn't do anything wrong. But the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that he's going to arrive in an unexpected way, like the way that a thief arrives. Not arriving at the time when you think they're coming, but at the time when you think they're not coming. And so the importance of being ready all the time is what Jesus has been accenting. Not looking on the calendar to try to figure out the particular day and looking at the newspaper or the internet to try to find out the particular time when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, but to be able to develop a habit of readiness. And then Jesus builds on that. In these verses, he tells us what readiness looks like, and it looks like being faithful. The faithful servant is the one who's blessed, he tells us in verse 46. And being ready involves faithful service to others. The one who's not ready is the one who exploits others, who mistreats others. That's someone who's not ready. Because the readiness that Jesus is talking about in these verses involves service to other people. Remember what Jesus said about himself in Matthew 20. He said that the Son of Man came to serve, to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for others. And that's the pattern that he gives to his disciples. It's a pattern that he gives to us. And so he teaches us about faithfulness, and it involves serving other people. So Jesus talks about a reward, and he talks about what we would call a recompense, or a day of reckoning, for those who are not serving in this way. So faithful service is what Jesus is holding out in this particular parable. He tells us how those who are faithful take care of other people who are in the household, verse 45. And then he tells us about the kind of actions that involve faithfulness. It's faithfully carrying out duties like he's just described in verse 45. And then he talks about a reward, being given charge over the goods of the master. That's what Jesus is talking about. And then he unpacks what someone who is not being faithful looks like, the way that they treat others, the way that they act in light of the idea that Jesus isn't coming back soon. They're not ready. They're not ready because they're excusing their kind of sin. And that's what Jesus is talking about in the next verses that follow up until the end of the chapter. So what is Jesus talking about in verse 45 when he talks about a faithful and wise servant whom has been made ruler over his household? Some people in the history of the church. I think he's just talking about people who have been given a title in the church, those who have been given a place of authority. But Jesus is talking in a general way. He's talking to all believers. It applies specifically to those who have particular places of responsibility. But we have to remember what it's like in the time in which Jesus is talking. A lot of people had servants in their household. Some people had dozens of them. One senator had 400. Some of these servants were what we would call doctors. Some of them were the person who braided the hair of the mistress of the household. They did many different things, but they were serving in the household, and they were serving for the benefit of the household. It was understood that this is how a servant participated in the household in which they were found. And Jesus uses this language, he uses this image to talk about faithfulness. He talks about caring for the household. And in order to care for the household in this way, you have to embrace your identity as one who is serving in the household. And so Jesus is actually using language that is designed to help us to understand what it is like to be a servant in the body of Christ, to be one who is waiting for him to come back. And we are basically servants in this way. We are those who are called upon to serve. And we're called to serve in a faithful and wise way. We're called upon to serve in a way that is embracing what we've been given. When you're a servant in a household like this, when you're a servant in the ancient Near East, there's basically a stewardship. You are expected to carry out particular responsibilities. Some servants had the skill to be a doctor, and so they needed to intervene when it was time to try to help someone with the medical skills that they had. Someone that was folding napkins for a dinner party needed to fold all those napkins, and they needed to prepare them. People actually did that. They were servants. And their main job, because the household was so big, was to fold napkins for dinner parties. But if they're not on the job, if they're not doing what they need to do, they're not being faithful to the task that they've been given. So tasks vary among servants. But the key that Jesus is talking about is faithfulness and being wise. Because what is ahead is what he calls in verse 46 a blessing. Jesus has been talking about blessings in the Sermon on the Mount. He began in chapter 5, verses 3 to 10, to speak about those who are blessed. And he uses this very same language, but he says something very specific about it. He says that the people that are faithful are those who are blessed. He's not just talking about blessing on the front end. He's talking about the blessing of being one who continues in the role that we've been given. And such people are not only blessed, but they're given a reward. In fact, the reward that's given in verse 47 far exceeds what the servant does. Look at what he says. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily, or truly, I say unto you, pay attention to this, the way Jesus puts it, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. I thought that the reward that I would be given for being ready for the Lord Jesus, for following him and serving in the way that I was called upon to serve, would be a lot of rest. It would be a time of an extended nap, at least. And there is a whole lot in the Bible about the joy and the rest of being in the presence of the Lord. It's a place where rest is given in a way that cannot be tasted in this life. But there's also something else that happens. This servant is actually given extra responsibility. You're given a reward that includes more responsibility. And because of the way that they have learned to embrace their role as a servant, they welcome it. You see, this is part of being ready. It's being ready to serve in a way that will enable you to embrace the greater responsibilities that you're going to be given. And Jesus will pick this up again in chapter 25. But we need to understand that. that what we are preparing for is eternity. What we are preparing for is to be in the presence of a greater household, a household that's made up of all of the believers, with the Lord at the head, and that we are called upon to understand our relationship to Him and our relationship to other people in the household. And so being ready involves faithful service to others. It involves thinking about the needs of others in the body of Christ. It involves being those who give meat in due season. This is part of the kind of provision for the household that was expected of servants in the particular time in which Jesus is giving this example, giving this parable. Keep your assignment. Be diligent in it. Be who you are in Jesus Christ with the gifts that you've been given. If you bring a bottle of water up to this pulpit and someone can actually speak clearly for a few seconds, whereas they couldn't otherwise, you have provided a service to the body of Christ. If you provide for someone to have a bulletin, when they walk in, they're new to the service, you have provided service in the body of Christ. If you look in on someone who's discouraged at Knox, people who have particular needs during the week that you know about, and you check in with them, and you encourage them, you are providing service in the body of Christ. And this is the kind of readiness that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the kind of readiness that was exhibited in simple things like braiding someone's hair, or folding napkins, or even providing doctoral care in a household where you're a servant. Jesus is talking about using the gifts and the identity that you've been given in order to receive greater responsibility and greater privileges when He returns. That is what Jesus is referring to here. The faithful and wise servant is the one who prepares for the reward by embracing the role that they've been given. But of course, there's a different way of looking at things. There are people who begin to look at the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ hasn't come back yet. And so perhaps I have a little time. And whenever we begin to think that way, the Lord Jesus Christ hasn't come back yet, perhaps I have a little time, what happens is our old nature begins to creep up. And our old nature points us in particular directions that Jesus makes quite clear. There are things that we default to by means of our sinful nature. When we don't embrace the role of being a servant, when we begin to act like the evil servant of verse 48, that evil servant saying in his heart, "My Lord delayeth his coming. I have time. I don't have to serve right now today." And so we create a vacuum. And in that vacuum, things creep in. And what Jesus describes is how what creeps in is violence in interpersonal relationships and being lax morally, lowering our standards. The evil servant actually begins to smite or beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken. That's serving in the household because my master, my Lord, is not coming back. I have time. And so their evil nature begins to take over. And it's amazing how it's oriented in these particular ways. Jesus is talking about people who are not ready for His coming back. Violence in interpersonal relationships. Well, we know what's happened in the city of Philadelphia when the district attorney did not hold people accountable for their actions. What happened? People began to run wild. And they're continuing to do that. They're continuing to do that, youth running wild, because they don't see any consequences. And you see, that's the same mentality that we have when we begin to embrace the idea that Jesus isn't coming back soon. And so we have time. We create a vacuum in our hearts and we begin to act out our inclinations of our evil nature. And it involves violence. Now, it might not be physical violence. You might not be carjacking. But perhaps you are violent in the way that you speak to people that you would otherwise view as part of the household that you need to serve. Because you are not fully convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. That you are accountable to Him 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. You are called upon to be ready. Who you are is a servant of the King, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what you are called upon, to think of yourself 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And whenever we begin to think of ourselves as having more time, I can just carry on what I want to do. It moves in this direction. It moves in the area of violence and interpersonal relationships of some form, and it moves in the direction of being lax in our moral life. And so this servant begins to smite his fellow servants, actually hitting them, eating and drinking with the drunken. What happens to kids when they go to college sometimes, and mom and dad aren't around? They begin to party. They begin to consider this to be a time to just carouse and let it go. You see, they've lost the sense of accountability that they had through mom and dad. And this is what happens to us. We lose that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we begin to embrace this type of life. And back in the time when Jesus was talking, even the emperor Nero was involved in this kind of stuff. He had this habit of going around the city, and going around the city incognito or secretly. But he was drinking at the time. So he would get involved in these fights. So then he decided to bring armed guards with him. And the armed guards began to beat up people. So he's actually responsible for beating up people in the city. And this is the emperor, Nero. There's a lot of things that are pretty ugly about Nero and his reign. But this type of habit, this type of mentality, it's the way that the people of the world live. It's the way that the people who don't feel an accountability to the DA live. It's the way that kids live at college when they don't feel that they're accountable to mom and dad anymore. It's the way that Nero was living as the ruler in ancient Rome. And this we know is the pattern of this world. We know that it's the pattern of those who have forgotten who they are, forgotten to be ready. That person is living as if the Lord Jesus Christ is not coming back right away. In fact, he will not be looking for him. And that's what Jesus talks about in verse 50. He says, "The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of." It's unexpected. Because this is someone who has failed to recognize their role as a servant, who has failed to recognize who they are and their relationship to the Lord, the Master. They have forgotten their relationship to him. He's not coming back. And they begin to exhibit who they are on the inside, who they are according to the sinful nature. And so they begin to live as if this Lord, this Master, is not coming back. And so Jesus calls that person a hypocrite. Someone who does not live according to the nature of a servant that has been assigned to them. And so he gives a very graphic example. And Jesus has designed this language so that we might be afraid, so that we might be scared. Not so that we think that this is exactly the way that God handles judgment on the last day, but the judgment is very severe. He actually goes to language that he's used before in verse 51, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the way Jesus describes hell. That's why Jesus describes those who live as if he's not coming back. Those who begin to treat others with violence, and those who live with moral laxity because they're not accountable to the living God through Jesus Christ. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so Jesus uses language that's very graphic. The Lord is going to cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. You're not living as a servant. You beat fellow servants. You've been drinking on the job. You are being a hypocrite. And this person receives the maximum punishment. But then Jesus presses that language into the language that he's already used of hell. And he talks about the weeping and gnashing of teeth. He talks about a place of separation, a place where hypocrisy is punished, is avenged, where the fellow servants who have been mistreated see how an evil servant is handled by the master. Jesus is using this language so that we might be very careful not to take casually the idea that Jesus is going to return. Not to take casually the idea that we're accountable to God and how we respond to people in the body of Christ as those who are related to Jesus. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's the language of hell. It's the language of a place of separation and punishment. It's the language of being held accountable for your role as a servant which you have squandered. You have lived according to your own evil intents, your own evil way, and you have failed to serve other people and to be ready for the Master to come back. So it's very important when we hear the language in the New Testament of how we are supposed to take care of other people in the body of Christ, how we're supposed to relate to them, because this is who we are, and this is what readiness involves, being faithful in the way that we relate to others. So you say, well, okay, there's a lot to think about there, and I really can imagine ways in which I would be viewed as the evil servant. Just haven't really thought about other people like I should. Here's the good news. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ received the penalty that was assigned to those who acted as if he wasn't coming back. The penalty of those who were by nature children of wrath. The penalty that was assigned to those who were destined to be cast into a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And God the Father in his love sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, and on that cross, he experienced the penalty of hell for each person who was trusted in him. He was treated as if he was the one who was violent towards other people. He was treated as if he was the one who was morally lax by the Father, so that that penalty might be taken off of you. But that burden, that destiny of heading for a place of being held accountable permanently and eternally for your actions and your attitudes would be removed from you by the only one who could. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ cared for the household of God so much that he served all of us in his act of going to the cross and in his resurrection. The Lord Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection became the one who was the master of the household that he himself served first. He provided the greatest possible service, service that you and I couldn't provide. And we know that in the ancient Near East there were doctors, there were people who braided hair, but the Lord Jesus Christ could do something that none of them could do, that none of us could do. He can save other servants, make them faithful servants, and provide for the household of God. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. So we are now in the body of Christ. It is a place where the Lord Jesus Christ has provided himself to be the Savior. So the people that you're called upon to serve are people, if they're in the body of Christ, they're people for whom Christ died. They're people for whom he shed his blood. They're people who are extremely valuable in service of the household. And if they need direction, if they need instruction in order to learn how to serve them, if they need help in learning how to get ready, you help them because it serves the household. The household has been obtained by the person and work of Jesus Christ. And if you see someone who is caught up in forgetting that Jesus is coming back, and they begin to act as if they can do whatever they want, you point out to them that our evil, sinful nature will eventually lead us to mistreat other people. And you call upon them to recognize the value of the work of Jesus Christ. And then you exhibit it in your life. You exhibit it in their midst. You show them what Jesus looks like. You can't save them, but you can show them faithful service. And Jesus calls this getting ready. This is getting ready for Jesus to come back. This is what we are called upon to be like 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. There are particular times when you will see particular needs, you will see particular ways that you can help someone else, you can serve in the body of Christ. There's more that Jesus is going to say in chapter 25 about this subject. But let's at least take in what Jesus is saying. He's saying that this is a blessed place to be. God blesses this kind of service, this kind of faithful, wise readiness. And he is going to provide a great reward for those who understand that this is our identity, who we are. We are servants of the Master. We are servants of the Master who has served us first. And we serve in the body of Christ, a place for which he has shed his blood. People for whom he has shed his blood. They are extremely valuable in the household of God. And we serve them because he is coming back soon. And we want them to be ready as much as we want ourselves to be ready. Who is the person that God is placing on your mind and heart, the person that you know that you can speak to in a way that would assist them in readiness for the arrival of Jesus Christ? Faithfully serve them, because Jesus Christ has faithfully served you.